Our next speaker is Dallas Williams. She'll be speaking on organic farming effects on soil physical quality after 40 years.
Good morning. I'm Dallas Williams, an undergraduate at the University of Nebraska in Lincoln, Nebraska. I will be speaking on research I've conducted on the effects of organic farming on soil physical properties after 40 years of management. I would quickly like to make some acknowledgments. I'd like to thank Dr. Humberto Blanco for taking much time and giving me much guidance throughout this research process, as well as Dr. Charles Francis, who has kept this experiment going year after year and has made it possible for this research to be conducted, as well as Tommy Galusha, who is the plot manager. As many of us may be familiar with, organic farming is an approach to sustainable agriculture in which no herbicides or pesticides or synthetic fertilizers are used, and instead organic amendments are utilized. It does appear that organic farming is growing in popularity worldwide. As of 2013, there was 43.1 million hectares of globally farmed land, which is a 26.5% increase from 1999. Here in the U.S., organically farmed area nearly doubled from 2005 to 2011. And along with this trend, organic food sales in the U.S. are increasing. In 1997, they were at $3.6 billion, while in 2014, they reached $39 billion. And Data Monitor expects this trend to continue, reaching $46.5 billion by 2016. Many ecosystem services rely greatly on soils to perform many important functions, including supporting provisional, regulatory, and cultural services. Soil quality is an important indicator for the productivity of these soil ecosystem services, such as plant growth, water regulation, and nutrient cycling. Soil quality itself encompasses soil physical properties, soil chemical properties, as well as soil biological properties. Such physical properties that are affected by soil quality include aggregate stability, water holding capacity, water infiltration, bulk density, among the others I have listed. Chemical properties include cation exchange capacity, nutrient retention, pH, electrical conductivity. And some biological properties include soil respiration, particulate organic matter content, and microbial diversity. It is relatively well known that chemical and biological properties are improved under organic farming. However, the effects of physical properties under these systems is less conclusive. This table is a summary of a select number of papers that have research soil physical properties under organic farming. And as we can see, there are relatively few studies, and of the few studies, not many soil properties have been evaluated. At a quick glance, it would appear that organic farming has no significant effect on soil physical properties. However, if we look under duration of management, this non-significant effect largely comes from the short-term management, which is less than 20 years, and if we look at the top and the bottom studies, which are greater than 20 years, we in fact see an improvement with soil physical properties under organic management. There has been some previous work conducted on the same experiment by Sam Wortman et al. In 2011. He focused on crop yields and soil fertility under the system, and he found that crop yields usually decrease for most crops, except for winter wheat, which experienced a 10% increase. Soil chemical properties, there's typically a significantly higher number of nutrient concentrations in most nutrients except nitrogen. pH is typically significantly higher, and as well as soil organic matter, which will have important implications on the research I'm going to present today and will be important to keep in mind. So the objective of our study was to determine the cumulative impact of organic farming practices on soil physical properties after 40 years of management. We hypothesized that long-term organic farming would decrease compaction risks, improve hydraulic properties, as well as increasing structural properties. The experiment site is located at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln's Agricultural Research and Development Center near Meene, Nebraska, which is located where that blue star is. The dominant soil type here is a Sharpsburg silty clay loam, and this experiment was established in 1975, but treatments were updated in 1996, largely to replace the oat clover with winter wheat, as well as to add sorghum into the cereal phase of the crop rotation. So the current treatments are a conventional farming with herbicide and fertilizer inputs, a conventional farming with a diversified crop rotation with the same herbicide and fertilizer inputs, and those fertilizer inputs on those two plots are 120 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen before the cereal phase. The third treatment is an organic farming with green manure, where alfalfa is utilized for 2 years and then tilled under. The fourth treatment is an organic farming with cattle manure, and they use 31.7 megagrams per hectare on a dry rate basis before the cereal phase. Plots are also tilled to a depth of about 4 inches. They are disked again before the cereal phase of the corn sorghum crop. This is a table of the crop sequence. It has been split into two sequences, like I said, to include the sorghum into the cereal phase of the crop, so corn and sorghum switches each year. Every phase of the crop rotation is present every year in this experiment. However, since you're just determining the cumulative impacts, we only sampled plots that were in the corn phase this year. And those plots are highlighted in yellow on the plot map. And this is just a picture of the actual plots themselves. So soil samples were collected in October 2015, just a few weeks ago. The properties I'll be speaking largely on today are wet aggregate stability, which we determined by sieving aggregates between 8 and 4.75 millimeters and using a wet sieving machine. And the sieve sizes I have listed here, I won't take time to say them all. And then we determined the mean weight diameter from this. We also ran water infiltration tests under ponded conditions using double rings. And we also determined bulk density using the core method. Other soil properties that we evaluated, but no significant differences were detected, so those results are not presented here today for sake of time. But we found dry aggregate stability for the top 2 inches of the soil profile. And we sieved them again in the following sieves that are listed using a ROTAP machine, and we calculated geometric mean weight diameter from this. As well as penetration resistance was found using a hand penetrometer. Some physical properties that are still currently being evaluated are soil moisture characteristics, which we took soil cores 7.5 by 7.5 centimeters, and we'll be applying the pressure heads listed there below. And we also will be running compactability tests using Proctor. Statistical analysis is conducting using Proc Mixed in SAS, and all results are declared significant at 5% probability unless otherwise stated. So for bulk density, we can see there is a significant decrease in bulk density comparing organic farming with animal manure and conventional farming. We attribute this to the increase of organic matter that is being applied with the animal manure. Organic matter has a very low particle density, and so therefore if you have more organic matter, it will decrease your overall bulk density. However, we only saw this for the first depth, 0 to 15 centimeters. From 15 to 30, we found no significant differences. Wet aggregate stability was found under organic farming with animal manure to be significantly higher than that of conventional farming, the mean weight diameter of aggregates. This, again, is attributed to the organic matter content. Organic matter is known to bind soil particles as well as decrease wet ability of aggregates, and this all helps promote aggregate strength, and which increases the average mean weight diameter. For the second depth, organic farming with green manure was actually found to have the highest stability. This may be due to the wheat and alfalfa crops that make up 3 out of 4 years of the crop rotation that have extensive roots going farther down into the soil profile than what is incorporated with animal manure. Water infiltration was also found to be significantly higher under organic systems compared to conventional. We did not run the statistical analysis yet on infiltration rate, although we are pretty confident that is statistically different, but there is higher initial infiltration rate under organic farming, as well as cumulative infiltration is significantly increased under organic farming. And we attribute this to, again, the organic matter, which facilitates water entry into the soil, as well as the decrease in bulk density that we saw, which lower bulk density means a higher porosity, so that facilitates that water entry, as well as the aggregate stability, which implies that we have better structure and therefore allowing greater water movement, as well as a greater amount of water storage. The implications of this research is that we now have a better understanding of the effects of organic farming, especially in the long term. This is important as increasing pressures of climate change are putting pressures on plant growth, especially with extreme weather events like drought and heavy rainfall. Environmental quality can also be assessed with less runoff, less erosion due to higher infiltration. You also have a decrease in non-point source pollution. And all of this relates to the potential sustainability of organic farming that will be a rising matter as we need to meet the rising global demands of food production in the coming years. So in conclusion, long-term organic farming appears to decrease bulk density by 7% in the top depth. It increases wet aggregate stability by 33% in 0 to 15 centimeters and 23% in the 15 to 30 centimeter depths. It increases water infiltration by 91% compared to organic, or compared to conventional farming. Excuse me. Yeah, they are, if I could go, and there was no difference between, the organic and the conventional with regular tillage. It's this Beltsville, Green et al., but the conventional with no-till, in fact, did improve soil physical properties. That there's might be some other management factors going on there. I'm not exactly sure, but that is definitely an area, especially organic with no-till, even though that can be a problem with how to control weeds and such, but that is an area that definitely should be studied. It was one time.
One time?
Yes. Yep.
All
just
on the same day, or were you spread out?
It was 2 days, but they were consecutive days, and we didn't have rainfall between them.
I would like to add something to that. That's an important point to ask. Yeah, it would be nice to monitor the water infiltration over time. We did not do that, so a lot of researchers measure water infiltration and the fungal condition for 3 hours and can't stand up to measure water infiltration or infiltration rate and then put like initial infiltration and steady state and things like that. So another thing to go on with is the rainfall simulation where you really capture, right? And non-point source pollution and also water infiltration.
Great, thank you.